I thought is the perfect man. He's in church every Sunday morning, Sunday school. He's in church worship service. He's back every Sunday night. I mean, him and his wife love God with all their heart. They're the most wonderful couple. Exercise physically, ride those bicycles, eat the right foods, everything. But at 42 years old, he's on his deathbed with terminal cancer. Why? Because he didn't meet the first commandment. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And you're to have no other gods before me. Ed gave God one day a week, Sunday. But Monday morning when he woke up, he was Mr. Brock. He run his business. And he was good at it. He had an advertising business. And he made pretty good money at it. But Monday, and of course, he'd probably work 14, 16 hours a day. You know how men are when they have their own business? 14 hours a day is nothing when you're on your own business. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 6 days, he's a spiritual prostitute to God. How many of you would like to live with a physical prostitute? How many of you women would like to live with a husband that only come home to you one day a week and come home with somebody else every other night of the week? I don't know a woman that would live with a man that would sleep with somebody else every night but one. Do you? No. And God won't do it either. I will have to say he's a whole lot more merciful than we are. I wouldn't put up with that one day. Not one day. And I don't think you would either. That's just like I was telling Cheryl the other day. I said, you know, honey, Abraham had several wives when he was older. I said, how about I get another? And she said, then you're still just going to have one. She was real quick to tell me she wasn't going to share me with nobody. I said, you're still going to have one. She said, her, not me. Oh, my goodness gracious. That sounds like a normal woman, though, right? Now, you know, how can we see that so easy with human beings? But we can't see it when we commit spiritual adultery with God. Because whenever people say that God cannot strike somebody with sickness and disease, but said so he, God, gave them what they asked, but he sent a plague along with it. Who sent the plague? Isn't that amazing? But that's all over this book. When you go from cover to cover on this book, you'll find out that the Lord is the one that heals. In fact, I just read an article that Tom had there a while ago about a professor in a university asking a young man if he believed that God created evil. And he said, no. Well, I want to take you to a scripture. I'm going to take you to Deuteronomy 32:39 and Isaiah 45:6-7. I'm going to let you make your own decision what the scripture says. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32:39. I want you to see what the scripture says. Look now, I myself am he. There is no God other than me. I am the one who kills and gives life. I am the one who wounds and heals. No one delivers from my power. So when people tell you, God don't kill you. Well, let me tell you what, that's not what the word says. All God's got to do is say, I'm through with you, and it's over. And you can't take it to a higher court. He is the ultimate, right? Now then, let's go to Isaiah 45:6-7, and let's see what that says. Isaiah 45:6-7. So all the world from east to west will know there is no other God. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I am the one who creates the light and makes the darkness. I am the one who sends good times and bad times. I am the Lord and am the one who does these things. Now, I want us to look at that in the King James. Look at those same two verses in the King James. And I want to see where it says send the good times and the bad times. I want to show you what he says there in the King James. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. It's like David's family. When David sinned, who was it that caused all those evil things to happen in his house? The Lord. The Lord. He's in control. You know, so But the thing about it is, as Christians, God tells us the way to get around all this. He tells us that if we don't obey Him, what's going to happen to us and our children? But it's like none of us believe Him. But I'm telling you, if you will walk in obedience to God's Word, you and your children will be blessed. You will be blessed. Your children will grow up to be good children. They will have good children. But you have to, all of you have to decide at the beginning, I'm going to walk with God and walk in obedience to His Word. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read His Word every day. I'm going to put Him first. And I'm going to praise Him and worship Him. I am not going to be ashamed of my God. And what gets me today, so many men that I walk in and say, hey, you're a Christian? Yeah. And you're ashamed of Him. I said, what are you ashamed of? Hey, don't you know Jesus? Thurman, kind of tone it down. Yeah, I'm going to tone it down, all right. You know, I'm going to tone it down. I mean, I'm going to raise the level. I'm going to raise the bar. I'm going to get into greater faith because let's go to Romans chapter 5, verses 1. Start with verse 1. Romans 5, 1. And I don't care, NLT, King James, whichever one you want to put it up there in. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, and that's the NLT, okay. So therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Now then, you got to remember, since Jesus come, if you have accepted Jesus, He has made peace with you. In other words, I don't care how many sins you had in the past, how bad they were, when you came to Jesus. Now let's say that here you're 20 years old, you started out over here born in sin, and you go through life, and by the time you're 6 or 7, you're stealing, you're lying to your mom and your dad, and then when you're 15, you're on drugs and alcohol, and you're running around with the wild women, you're doing everything, and you get over here 20 years of age, and at 20 years of age, somebody tells you about Jesus, and He saves you. Now, all these things He had against you, how many of those did He forgive?
All.
Did you have to confess them? No. You didn't have to confess nothing. This is where the word redemption comes in. When He redeemed you, when you come in and said, Lord, I want You as my Lord and Savior. He said, that's my son. He said, come on in here. I'll just redeem you by my son's blood and I'll wash you and make you clean. Now, you're just as clean as He is. Come over here with me.
Amen.
Now, at that point, you're just as clean as you can ever be.
Clean.
I mean, you are clean and pure and got your white robe on and there ain't not one spot on your robe. You're clean. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could keep that robe clean?
Yep.
But, you know, unfortunately, we don't do that. So we go out and sin again, you know, because nobody tells us the truth. And we just go out and lie and steal and cheat. And then, of course, we get all kinds of black spots on our robe. And then, of course, somebody tells us, well, you need to stop lying. You need to repent. Or you need to move out from living with that girl you're living with. What? I got to do what God? Surely He'll understand. No, He don't. But He'll be merciful to you now. He's training you and teaching you. So He says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. And that's when we first get saved. That's a grace that He pours out upon us and gives us this wonderful grace. Some people want to just keep taking that grace on and saying, well, I can just do anything I want to do. But that's not what that means. That's not what that means at all. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Wow. And that's where we all want to live. We want to share His glory. I'll tell you what. I wished I'd have knew these things when I was a kid. Well, I wished I'd have had somebody in church that knew this stuff that would have preached it to me where then I was 12 or 14 years old. I could have saw a man like that guy at the airport the other day, and I could have run out there at 14 or 15 and said, sir, why are you limping? And he said, well, I had a car wreck, and I got a piece of steel in my leg. I said, you know, the God I serve can turn that into flesh and blood. Can I pray for you?
Amen.
Can you imagine? That would be the glory of God. You know, you're glorifying God.
Amen.
I mean, wow. And then when the guy gets saved, you know he's going to tell people, right? He's going to tell people. Now then, verse 3 and 4, let's see what that says. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. What? How many of you rejoice and praise God when you run into a trial? Oh, every day, huh, Kim? I mean, if you don't believe that most Christians don't do that, you just be around them. And listen to them fuss and grumble and complain. But that's not what the Lord told us. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure. And endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectations of salvation. That's the scripture you were trying to repeat a while ago. That's it, right there, only it's in the NLT. But it says the same thing. Endurance develops strength of character. Do you think God wants men of character? Absolutely He does. He wants men of character. Verse 5 and 6. Let's see what it says in verse 5. And this expectation will not disappear, don't disappoint us, for you know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for our sin, for us sinners. Verse 7 and 8. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Now then, do you know anybody that's good enough that you would send your son to die for? I don't. I ain't giving my son for none of you. You're not either, huh, Kim? No, that's just not the way we're made. But he says perhaps somebody might die for somebody that was really good. But for a rotten sinner, forget it. You know, that's just like that Mexican guy that the Barack Obama tried and the governor or the president of Mexico tried and everything to get him to put off this guy. But this guy raped and brutally murdered a young girl. And he was found guilty. And the president of the United States and the president of Mexico tried to get that boy released. And Governor Rick Perry said no.
Amen. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, All Things Are Yours, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.